The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant EM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
I hate when I do stuff at the last minute. Fucks everything up. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome to another edition of the Open Mic Night Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. It's a Saturday night. It is September the 13th, 2014. I am your host tonight, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, riding solo. Normally, I don't get Mega Powers to come in on any of these things because he actually has a life. Unlike me. So I figured about an hour and a half ago, I'd open the Skype up, open the phone lines up, and, you know, to shoot the shit. Ring my bell. That was unintentionally, actually. All right. So not much going on since we broadcasted on Wednesday. I mean, we have big stuff coming up soon, but tonight's all about you guys. You guys want to call in, 718-878-6304. We are live on Ustream. I think we are live on Ustream anyway. And let me put that on there and share that with everybody. Message was shared. I think there's like a chat room too and all the other stuff. I don't really use Ustream very often. I did it when I was doing the Will and Phil Awful podcast. But somebody suggested, I think Brian on the Facebook page suggested I use YouTube, but YouTube takes like a week. You have to like submit your stuff and all this other nonsense. So I started the enabling, but I don't think I could do it for like another week. So Ustream is where it's at. I was going to use The Rant, but The Rant has a show coming up in a little while, and I want to step on Will and Rage's shoes. So, again, it's just me tonight chilling out. And you guys, if you call in. All right. Let me just type this in here. All right. That's pretty much it. All right. Well, I guess I'll open up some wrestling sites, I guess, some news. I don't know, really, not much going on. I did watch NXT yesterday. I had the day off. I ran some errands yesterday morning and came back. I watched NXT, and I got it, the TakeOver event, and I got to tell you, I was very, very, very impressed. Very, very, very impressed with the card. A lot of people were shitting on Renee Young doing the announcing commentary. I got to be honest with you. Not as bad as Mongo was on those Nitro shows I was watching. To be perfectly honest with you, wow. I got to shut this off. I don't want to... The Facebook to interfere with what's going on tonight. I hope you guys are listening on the Ustream. If anybody's listening, let me know. I don't know if anybody... I mean, it says I'm broadcasting, so... Let me see here. There's the URL. I'm going to post it up there on YouTube. And all the other crap. Oh, look at that. All right. Rage, what's going on?
What up, Phil?
What's going on, pimpin'?
Nothing much. Just sitting here while waiting on the Colin show, and I'm watching Fruitvale Station, which is a movie I really wanted to see, so I'm finally watching that. And I'm waiting for this fight to start, so, yeah. I'm occupied for the night.
I was, before I posted my boredom on the Facebook page, I was actually going to go to Wild Wings down the road and watch the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Just not feeling the fight scene lately, you know? I'm really not.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that weight class in particular, I mean, you know, it's. I mean, I hate Mayweather, but he owns it.
Yeah.
And there's nobody right now that's going to beat him, I don't think, anyway.
And please.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. People now watch his fights because they want him to lose.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm kind of.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if Madonna's going to win, but I think he's going to hurt him. I mean, I just got into a really heated, I don't want to say argument, but debate with me, Big Tone, and William. How, like, I still think at his age, even with his two losses or whatever, I still think Pacquiao can beat Mayweather.
I mean, it's not far-fetched. My thing is, something is preventing these two guys from fighting.
I think it's him.
I don't know. I don't know, dude. I think it can't be money, because there's a lot of money being thrown around for that fight. I think there's something up. I mean, there was a whole thing with the drug testing and all of the nonsense. Then that got squashed. And then Pacquiao had, I don't remember the fight, but I want to say like a year after that whole beef started, he had a fight, which I wasn't even impressed with. I forgot who he fought. Again, I don't follow it very often. But he had one or two fights after the whole initial beef. That the one fight, he just didn't impress me. Now, of course, guys have bad nights. Fighters have bad nights. In boxing in particular, I mean, it just... Listen, you know, you can't... It's... I stepped in crap because I grew up with, you know, Hearns and Hagler and, you know, Tyson and Lewis and, I mean, different weight classes. But, I mean, Gotti Ward was amazing. That trilogy. Roberto Duran. No Mas. I mean, those were fighters too. But I think the game now... The game has changed so much that, you know, it's monopolized. There's only one or two promoters. You don't have a lot of promoters. It's not advertised like it used to. Like, ESPN used to have fights every Friday when I was younger.
Yeah.
But they don't even have that no more. Everything is...
That's every so often now. I mean, the only two promotions now are, what, Golden Boy and Top Rank?
Yeah, that's it. It's monopolized. Promoters are not... It's not as profitable as it used to be. And let's be honest, that there's guy. Listen, I don't want to compare it to UFC, but if you take you take that weight class and any weight class beneath that, the lighter the guys get, there's an abundance of talent in each of those weight classes. So, like, you know, it's same thing with UFC. When UFC bought Would they buy Strike Force or something?
Yeah, yeah, which was my favorite promotion.
Right. When you buy Strike Force and you start to take some of their talent and now you're putting them in your top 10 or whatever weight class you have, now you have an abundance of guys. So guys like Ben Henderson, when he got absorbed, he had a weight to fight.
Yeah.
It wasn't like when Ronda Rousey got absorbed. Ain't nobody. There was only like four or five chicks in her division. Ain't nobody.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's, and then like, in like you.
But you got, and you got to give it up to UFC for that, because, you know, again, there was a point now where when Dana White said women will never fight in the UFC, and you got to give it up to Ronda Rousey too, because I mean, I still believe Gina Carano is awesome and whatever. I think, but Ronda Rousey sort of brought women's MMA to the forefront, and like that's what she brought women's MMA to Strikeforce. You can't deny. No one can deny that.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's some weight classes were good. Some, I mean, you know, again, and I lost a bit for it, dude. I'm not into boxing like I used to be. I mean, I'll still watch the big fights. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
And I'll wait for Mayweather to lose because I hate him. But you got, dude, he is amazing. You know what bothers me even more? Like, some, there were a couple of fights where, you know, he would go the distance with a couple of guys, and even the nights where he went the distance and he didn't look that good, he still landed more punches. He still won most of the rounds. So it's like even when the guy has bad nights, he's still good, and that aggravates the shit. The shit out of me.
You are, oh my God.
Right?
That does.
Right? And then, I feel like, I hate him. I hate to really bad word. I really shouldn't be using that word. I dislike him as much as I disliked Lennox Lewis back in the day.
Where I adored Lennox Lewis.
No, see, I didn't. And he was a pomp, same thing. He was a pompous dude. He hate America, but I love making American money. I'm like, dude, I hate you. I want somebody to wreck his face. Like, every time he mentioned he was
oh,
like,
come on.
Dude, I couldn't stand that dude, man. I'm, amazing fighter, Olympic champion, was a ambassador to the sport, put some validity back in the heavyweight division after the whole Mike Tyson debauchery with Buster Douglas and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
He put validity back into the division, and I just didn't like him. I just didn't connect with him. I didn't like the way he spoke. I didn't like the way he conducted himself, during post-interviews, and I didn't like his disrespect for my country. I did not like it.
It is what it is.
But again, it's the same thing with wrestling, dude. I hate a lot of wrestlers. I dislike a lot of wrestlers, but I respect the talent. It's the same concept. When we talk about it on our shows, it's like, well, I hate so-and-so. I dislike so-and-so. But you do give them their credit where it's due. So they do have good matches. You just don't like – some people – I just like – people like they – I'll give you a good example. I don't like Kevin Nash. I don't like Kevin – never like Kevin Nash. And people are like, how can you not like Kevin Nash? Oh, he was great during the Attitude Era. He was awesome. He was, and then he was Diesel. I'm like, no, dude, I didn't feel it. You know, I remember we talked about this on the last throwback. I remember getting a call from a buddy. He was at the Garden the night he beat Bob when the night Diesel beat Bob Backlund like 9 seconds in the Garden for the title. And I was like, oh, dude, that Bob Backlund, like, first of all, Bob Backlund's old. Second of all, like, it's just I don't like the way he moved in the ring. I didn't like – he cut really good promos. He was a staple when everybody started jumping ship and the Monday Night Wars picked up and that, you know, the rest is history. But I didn't like him at all. And then, like, and just to make – just to put the icing on the cake, soon as he got to TNA, it was a wrap for me. I'm like, I still hate him. I still don't like this dude. He's still
Bob Backlund?
No, Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash, yeah, totally.
Still the drizzling shits, you know?
Kevin Nash and TNA was such – I can't even – like, both of them, Scott Hall and Nash in TNA to me was such a joke. Now, I mean, I'm saying that now in retrospect, but when – but, again, I was the ultimate – TNA fan, the ultimate TNA supporter, and I had a ton of TNA DVDs, and I thought at the time that that was that was cool because they were bringing in some names, and they're sort of like, these names are sort of like legitimizing TNA. But to see what it is now, and to see that they brought so many WWE guys over and over again, and it just came like, it hurt them. And they put them, as soon as they came in, they put them in the main event picture, and then they ended up getting a title thrown around their waist. So I kind of see where everybody, you know, has their problem with TNA because of that.
Oh, it just, again, it wasn't even just TNA. It was just my point was the wrestler. There are a ton of guys that I just don't like. I have talent. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I wasn't, like, people, they, you know, I get crap all the time. It's just a personal preference, and you know how it is, man. You go on your shows, you guys go back and forth on who do you like and who you don't like and who should get pushed and who shouldn't get pushed, and what is what it is. I just, you know, it's like the same thing when you're in the street, or you hook up with a bunch of friends, and they bring friends that you meet them, you just don't like them, even though they're probably nice people. Like, there's coworkers that I can't stand, you know? It took me, and I'm at the same place for 8 years. 8 years later, now I'm warming up to one or two guys. Like, hey, what's going on? What, you know? But I just, you get that vibe from these people. It's the same thing when you watch stuff on TV. It's like, I don't like these people. Like, you know, people, music especially, people, I get shit all the time, dude. Case in point, I hate Bruce Springsteen.
Oh my God!
Yep, I cannot.
How can you hate Bruce?
I know.
Why?
I know. I can't. I don't like his voice.
My God.
I don't like his fucking guitar. I don't like his nasty ass bandana.
You are so fucked up. For
I know,
that. How
dude.
Can you hate?
Listen,
Bruce Springsteen is probably. Oh my God!
You know,
Phil, and, come on,
dude. I'm telling you, I don't like the guy, and I. It's a thing where I can't. I can't. Like, I used to, before I became an EMT, I used to work in a tuxedo business. Like, I was the guy, like, if you rented a tuxedo, one of my jobs was I was the guy who cleaned the shoes and prepped the suit for you when you went to the rental place, you know? That was my job. But when I was in EMT school, one of my jobs, I did security, did a whole bunch of shit. But, like, the guys in the factory, in the warehouse, they would pump the Grateful Dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're a bunch of old stoner guys, you know, from, like, they're a bunch of reformed hippies. But the guy's like, this is the greatest thing. And he would bring these bootleg cassettes, right, of the fucking Grateful Dead. And I'm like, these guys were so stoned on stage that they would play out of tune. And these concerts were like, annoying. Like, if you're a fan of live music, if you go to a lot of shows like I did, and you go to a show, and I love bands. There are bands that I adore, but if you see them live, they're awful. It was the same thing, like, and true. And, like, I can't stand it. So, like, with Springsteen, I'm like, oh, man. And, you know, too, like, I have my wife's friend, they're all, my wife and her friends are all, like, you know, they're all preppy-looking kids, and they have, like, they love Bob Dylan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hate Bob Dylan. I mean, I respect what Dylan did for music, you know, with the whole folk movement and bullshit, plugging in the electric mic or the guitar and whatnot. I hate him. I don't like his music. Same thing with Springsteen. I don't like Springsteen's music. And there's a lot of, I mean, it just, it's a preferred taste. I respect their contributions to the business. Case in point, when reached the last Hall of Fame in music, they had Bruce Springsteen's band was inducted, right?
Yeah.
And that band is amazing. They have piano play.
Yeah, all E Street Band. I love
E Street Band. And if you're a Jersey guy too, and you have that Jersey people have that connection to Bruce, and like, he gets on stage with the band. Now the band's getting inducted, not him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he just wouldn't shut the fuck up.
That is kind of true.
He wouldn't shut the fuck up, and I'm like,
But then again, the thing about the Hall of Fame is that. It's edited because it's taped and they put it on HBO.
They had to cut it out. They had to cut some of the performance out. It was so long. I read that in Rolling Stone.
Which is why I kind of have a problem with them taping it and putting it on HBO. I love HBO, but they shouldn't tape it.
Yeah, well,
but anyway.
But they can't broadcast a six-hour friggin' thing. They can't.
Dude, they broadcast the entire 25th anniversary of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Isn't that like a five-hour show?
Well, milestones, yes, but you can't. Every year, it's like the Academy Awards, dude. Or what's that? My wife and I were away. We were in Baltimore in June, and they had the Tony Awards. My wife's into the theater, you know?
Uh-huh.
So we were stuck in the hotel room the last night of our trip, and it was miserable out. We go and we're watching. I'm not into this shit, but we're watching the Tony Awards, right? And I'm watching the awards, and they had these. Hugh Jackman was the host, right? So in between, no, that's not the issue. In between each act, he did like these stupid parody songs. He would sing about what you like the people who were nominated. He would sing about shows, sing about stupid shit, and like get the crowd going.
Mm-hmm.
And like I felt bad because the people who were winning all these major awards at the end of the night, they were cutting their acceptance speeches off because they had no more time left on TV. Now if this schmuck would have shut the fuck up during in between songs, then you would have these poor guys. You know, like the last award. Was a gazillion people on stage, producers, actors, right? And the guy's sweating, he's nervous, and he's got a piece of paper, and he pulls out the paper, and he's like, oh, I want to thank blah, 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 and then, like, they're passing the mic, like a shout-out. Pass the mic here, pass the mic there, and, like, they had to cut him off. They started playing the music over them. Now, if you, Jack, would have shut up two segments ago,
true.
Then you would have had, they would have had their spiel, you know, but... Again, I digress. I mean, it's like a thing where it's same thing with wrestling too. When we have the Hall of Fame every WrestleMania weekend, that's why you buy the WrestleMania DVD now. My wife and I make it a point to watch that on DVD because you get the entire ceremony. You don't get the 2-hour. Well, this is before the network. You don't get the 2-hour fucking USA thing. Maybe not even 2 hours, an hour.
Yeah, they cut that down to like an hour.
Right. So now you buy the Blu-ray, you'll get the whole ceremony.
Because.
Mm-hmm. These guys won't shut up either. You know, it's a case in point, Mr. T. You know, Mr. T.
Oh, God,
right,
yes.
And to his credit, he apologized. You know? So, but it was all about his mom. Shut up. There's other people that have to come out. Like, not real important people. Not to say you're not important, but real important people. But... I guess it's a thing where my point is it's your personal preference. It goes back to wrestling too. A lot of guys that are great, I just didn't like. You know.
Let me ask you something. People had a problem with Lita's speech. I for one didn't. I thought it was interesting. I mean, people say it was like too long. I didn't think so. Like, I thought it was fine. She went to her story and background or whatever. Like, what is your opinion on Lita's Hall of Fame segment?
I don't have a problem with anybody having a long speech.
Yeah.
I have a problem with people who are not connected to the business. Like, you know, like, see, Lita spoke too much about herself and not about her actual career, and that bothers me. Like, I think she was disconnected from the industry. I think she came in, had a pinnacle role in that era. And I think that she was not connected to the business. It's like, you know, listen, you and I sat together for 2.5 hours a couple months ago, and I wouldn't shut the fuck up just about wrestling, you know. And then I had a connection to everything that we spoke about. I don't think she had a connection to her business.
Mm-hmm.
She pretty much put herself over. And I'm like, you didn't have to. You won the award. You're a winner. You know, here you're being recognized as one of the best. You're a Hall of Famer. You get a ring. you're in the club. You're in the club, dude. You're in the club. You know, if you're in football, you get a bust. You get a statue. I think she put herself over. I don't think she was very much in tune with what was going on. She thanked everybody she had to thank. I thought the beer thing was awesome. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
And then it was like, well, I'm going to put myself over now for the next 20 minutes and not speak about my experience as a performer and what I got out of it. That's what I get. Like, that's what I want to say. I want to hear, like, guys like, oh, I want to thank, you know, Ric Flair for giving me that 20-minute match in St. Paul. You know, I want to thank Triple H for that, you know, fully loaded match. I mean, that kind of shit. Because, you know, we watch these matches and we're like, well, you know, we can say, well, he sucked that night and she was great that night. But they may go backstage and think they were the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I think, you know, opinions, we can all sit, listen, and I told you this too. You and I spoke about this. I told you that you know, 20 guys can sit, you know, in a room and watch, you know, watch one thing and you'll have 20 different opinions. Hold on a second. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, good evening. Hello? Hello? Somebody's calling in, but they're not.
Hello?
Hello, Barbara?
Yeah, Dan, this is Mike Tyson. I want to know why you're such a why you a rat piece of shit making fun of Bruce Springsteen.
See now all you Jersey guys now are gonna attack me.
This is fucking ludicrous. I don't understand.
Yeah, but get strawberry quick, and it gets hard in the bottom like candy. It's ludicrous how that happens.
You bring me on here, your mayor fucking smokes crack, and then you call me a rapist. You fucking rat bastard.
Did you see that the other day? How he flipped out on that reporter when he brought up the rape thing?
Yeah, he was like, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty
cocksucker.
Funny. What's going on?
You know, if I wasn't taking my Zoloft off, I'd bite your fucking ear and rape you in the ass and stomp on your children's testicles.
I'm on the Zoloft to keep from killing y'all.
Why are you making fun of Jersey? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Right. I fucking hate Springsteen.
Mr. Phil Raya.
What's going on, Tony?
Hanging in there, man. I just happened to be taking a shit, and I saw that you were broadcasting live. And I said, ooh, winner, winner, chicken dinner.
It was either go to some awful hipster fucking karaoke night in Red
Hook. Hey, don't brag on the hipsters.
Oh, stop. They're awful. And my wife's like, I'm going to Red Hook. I'm like, on purpose? I said, you going to Red Hook on purpose? She's like, yeah, there's a karaoke bar there. I'm like, I used to fight for my hat over there, you know? It's crazy shit. So what's going on, Tony? How you been?
She's going to hang out with Taz, bro. Red Hook section.
Oh, please. Please.
I'll take your woman, you son of a bitch.
I'll make you tap. I'll make you go to the bedbug club. I'll make you tap. Oh, boy.
Hey, I see that you're all over the place with topics tonight. So something I wanted to ask you about. What do you think of this whole Adrian Peterson situation?
I was just going to ask him about that.
Great minds think alike.
I've been told to burn my jersey. They're going to beat me with sticks tomorrow during a New England game.
Going to beat you unmerciful.
You know
what? Yeah, man. Yeah, my team's going to whip your ass, dude.
Who cares? You know what? I don't – listen, the NFL for me right now, I'm so down on the NFL. The league opened up with 39 suspensions, okay?
Jeez.
You would think these fucking overpaid animals – these millionaire jerk-offs that you would think they would have some kind of a moral fiber to them, that you're in the public eye all the time, and you would try to conduct yourself in an orderly fashion. No, they won't do that. They would rather, you know, not represent the league and represent themselves in a good way, and it bothers me. And it pisses me off because that's my bread and butter for the past five seasons. That he handles the rock. You know, we've had backup quarterbacks handing him the ball every year. There's no other option for him. So now I got to deal with. I don't even have Toby Gebhardt no more. He's fucking playing for Jacksonville. So I'm not very happy with the situation. And first of all, child abuse is child abuse, man. You know, you want to get whooped. We've all taken whoopings, but not wherever you open wounds, man. That's terrible shit.
Yeah, and the weird part is there was parts of it. He's like, you know, I felt kind of bad. I hit him in the scrotum, but you know what? I got to dish out an ass whipping. I was like, really?
4 years like, old? I could see if he was 14 and not four.
Did he really hit him in the scrotum?
That's what he.
Yeah, apparently he.
God.
Dude, he went old school. He pulled a switch down off the tree and he was whipping him with that.
God.
Yeah, and apparently a few of the shots were like wrapped around him. And he's like, yo, I feel bad, but he's. Basically, it was like, hey, I did what I had to do. And it was like, well, what the fuck, dude? There's a difference between smacking your kid in the ass to get him to straighten up and take it, dude, a switch.
And literally beating the shit out of him.
Yeah, dude, that's like beyond a fool, man. That's
what is
you
the
really
problem? I mean, this is starting to like really become a trend now. Like every fucking season, there's some high profile name or not even – There's some NFL player who's always fucking up during the offseason. Like, what is it? Like, what do these guys do on the offseason to lose their shit like that?
This is what society has come to. And I'm not shitting on society, but this stuff, for the most part, has probably always been going on. It's the same thing, and I don't want to get into a whole debate on religion and politics and whatnot, but take the Catholic priest, for example. You mean to tell me, like, you know, like, there's guys coming out of the woodwork, like, yeah, I got molested, like, 20, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. All this shit was probably going on. We just didn't have, like, media gone berserk all over the place keeping tabs or, like, having access to this stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, everybody's got a cell phone nowadays. Everybody can press record on their phone or anything, and it's real easy. Yep. Like, dude, there's security cameras everywhere you walk in New York City.
Case in point, I'm on a bus the other day going uptown, and you know how my commute is shitty, Tony. I'm going uptown. I'm on First Avenue, and I'm on one of those – we have these things in New York called the select buses. They don't stop at every stop, and they hold like
– Yeah, we got something like
and
that.
They're huge. They hold – they're like the size of two buses, right? So this old man gets on, and they ask him to move, and I'm in my seat already. They ask him to move to, like, the middle of the bus because lady can't move unless – the driver can't move unless you go behind the white line. Now we're sardined, and this guy is just sassing her, and she won't pull off until this guy moves, right? So he gets on the bus, and he won't move, and she's telling him, sorry, I really – and she's on the microphone, I have to move, you know, please move. I can't move the bus until you move. So finally, after, like, five – now I'm having an emotional day anyway because it's fucking 9/11 – so this jerk off is still berating her, like berating her, this poor lady. Yeah. So I stand up and go, shut up. Just shut the fuck up and stand behind the white line. Now he's still mumbling. So now two stops. This motherfucker went two stops. That's it. He didn't go from South Street to, you know, 68th Street like I do. He went two stops, and then he had the balls to stop and berate her again. I got up. I'm like, get off the bus. People have to go to work. And the guy was like, and when I started yelling at this guy, someone pulled out their cell phone, like they were gonna record me.
That's what I hate.
And I was like, dude, really? I'm yelling at this guy. I'm sticking up for you. You have to go to work, and you're gonna record me. Think I'm gonna go after an old man? I'm gonna beat an
old
man.
World star.
Hold on.
That's what I hate about people.
We got another caller. Caller, good morning, good evening, whatever the hell it is. Hello.
Yeah, how are you?
Hello? Hey, what's up, fellas? It's Sugar Shane.
Sugar Shane is in the building. What's going on over there?
Nothing much, man. I heard you talking about, you know, Adrian Peterson. Oh. You know, them fantasy points are gone for everyone now.
Well, thank God. Thank God. This is the first year in 4 years that I did not have him in any draft. So, and listen, you're in Texas, isn't that where he's from?
He graduated. I mean, I lived in Oklahoma, and everybody was just a huge tirade about. Oh, this guy's about, you know, he's part of our Sooner Nation, you know, and
Boomer Sooner,
yeah. So,
by God,
Tony, Shane, I don't mean to cut you off. Tony, next Saturday, you gotta have my little guy do Jim Ross for you. He's got that speech impediment thing going on, but he's going to speech therapy.
Are you serious? He's got that now.
He goes, my God, he does it so good. You gotta make him do it for you next week, dude.
I can't wait. So you're going to PWS. I'm sorry, we're off on a tangent.
Yeah, I'm on a tangent. Yeah, I'm trying to get my wife to take him to the thing in the morning, but I don't know if that's gonna happen. If it does, though, either way, you gotta get him doing it, though. It's hysterical.
Yeah, me either. Once we wrap up with Ricky, I think he's staying till 3:30. I'm banging everything up, heading back home, picking up the little guy, and heading right back down. He cannot wait to meet Brodus Clay, dude. He's looking forward to it.
Mikey's very excited. But, you know,
Big E was at the an FYE in Woodbridge. I should have went. I really should have.
You mean Big E Langston?
Yeah, the you know, big tits.
Bob Blackland?
Yep. The guy was at Woodbridge, and now I really should have went.
I go to Woodbridge to go to Harold's.
Well, it's funny that you guys talk about that, because I used to work at Red Robin, and HBK used to come by all the time.
Man, that's wow.
On the way to his hunting expeditions, did he come in full camouflage gear?
He has a ranch, and where I live in Texas, in Abilene. So,
Jesus Christ!
Hey man, you can't unlimited fries. Come on, even HBK's got to go down for
Whisper's
that.
Whisper's there too. The Nitro Girl, his wife's always there too.
They just opened one on Staten Island. I haven't been there yet. the Red Robin. I heard it's a fine establishment, though. I went to one in Pennsylvania, but I didn't have the fries a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's not bad. We got one right down the road here in Clifton. It's not bad.
Yeah. But
Phil, have you been to the 9/11 Memorial?
No.
I mean, the museum? Or
no, I won't go. I can't.
I can't. Like, I have to go.
I can't. You know, I can't, man. I can't. I don't want to beat a dead horse. It's a different vibe. Not because I was down there for a couple hours that day, but for me, I think the whole politics of it, of them not having something built there sooner. It took them almost a decade to put something there, you know. And then it's hollow ground, man. 3,800 people died that day. Two of them were my friends. So now it's, you know, now you, they have this, the waterfall thing is cute with the people's names on them and all that. I like that.
Yeah.
But now you got to put a building there. You got to put, like, the people have broken into it already. It's like, it's just politically, it was a disaster. I don't know. And people are selling fucking shirts down there on the corner.
Yeah,
they're selling,
that's the thing. That annoys me.
It pisses me off too that every other person on the corner is selling like the memorial books. You always got some jackass with the PA going, when the planes hit the towers. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, enough already with that garbage.
Yeah,
Tony. Sorry, guys. I don't mean to cut any of you guys
Shane,
off
or
anything like
no,
that.
No, man.
When I lived in Oklahoma, the Oklahoma City Memorial, I visited or whatever, and just basically, you know, a tour around the whole building and just the site, and they took you in this one room, and it was almost like an interrogation room, like how, like you see in the movies where, like, they sit a suspect down, and, you know, you see, you know, say a cop's on the other side of the glass. It was almost like that, but you were staring at, like, kids that died, women and men that died, like, all these people that died of, like, just 8x10s of their faces. And then they had, like, toys that were found in the rubble of this building, and, like, it was just sad, man. Like, it was just, it was terrible.
Everybody's life as a first responder changed forever if you lived in the city. If you lived in the tri-state area, meaning Jersey, Connecticut, because we used every viable resource, you know. I can tell you right now that I can't go to a memorial anymore. I tried going to a few of them. There's one at my job, because my hospital lost three guys that day. I never knew these guys because I wasn't there at the time. I was with another company. But, like, I can't go to these things anymore, you know. And I'm finding it even hard to go to work because there's memorial. I mean, the food spread's amazing. They feed us all day. That's the best part of it if you're a fat bastard like me. But the thing is, it's like I was talking about. Now, my best friend also works that shift with me, ironically. And I said to him the other day, I'm like, dude, there's no way. I got to start taking a day off. I have to. I can't. It's for me. I can't even – I found it hard to get out of bed. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was that kind of vibe. And I know it's so much time later. It's 13 years later, but it's just – it's a bad month in general. I lost my father a month after this happened. And, again, like, my career changed totally. Protocols changed. The way we deal with people changed. Politics changed in the city. Everything changed, and it just – it was a disaster. And we're still feeling the effects of it.
Sure are.
So, like, for me, it's like I can't grasp it. That's the word I want to use. I can't grasp it. I try so hard. I'm in a different place in my life. I'm in a great place, you know, physically, mentally, that I was worse off back then. But now it's like, for me, even in my better state of mind, I can't get a grip on it. You know, maybe because of what happened. Where I wasn't even supposed to be there, and I was. And then, like, it snowballed. I remember coming back to the base that day, and people were quitting. They were, like, literally walking in, handing in their shield and their ID, and they were going home.
Wow.
Like, it was that kind of party. And it was like, you know what? It's to this day, you still talk to people, and it's like they can't deal. Financial people who work down there, they can't deal. Like, it ruined them, you know? And it ruined us as a country. You know, we got caught with our pants down. I don't want to get, like Tony said, I don't want to get into politics, but we literally got caught with our pants down. And
I don't know. I mean, for me, I mean, it's not going to be like It's not going to be a, like, some sort of fun experience. Like, I know exactly what I'm getting into, and I really wanted to go. I have to go, because I mean, I don't know why. Like, I don't know why. It's just, I just have to go. I just want to see everything down there. People say it's a very awe-inspiring experience, and you know, I just have to go.
If you have to go, you have to go. I mean, I remember a month or two after the fact, I had gotten the ambulance company I worked for gave me a medical standby in the financial building, Solomon Smith Barney, and on Greenwich Street, down a block from our Bobby De Niro's loft. He had some hot black chicks with him all the time over there. It was awesome. But anyway, that's another story. That's another podcast. But I'm in this building, and I have to pass there on the way to this building, you know, from the west side. And, like, they made a fucking ramp for the tourists. It's still a hole. Like, there's a hole there. Like, it's still fresh. And people was, like, there's a ramp, and they're selling fucking statues and books. And, like Tony said, there's a tour guy with the fucking megaphone. This was 2 months after. So it just shows you the mentality of society. You know, getting back to the whole society thing, it's just, it's yeah, again, I don't want to. Fucking
Phil, no, I get it. Just one more point. I mean, it's a curiosity thing too. Like my little guy, we were watching. There was a special they were running. I guess it was from a couple of years ago where they were talking about how they wanted to get building and they had to open things up again over there for the 10th anniversary. You know, rebuilding the PATH station and you know, getting the memorial finished and whatnot. And my little guy's curious. I didn't explain to him that, you know, that it was a terrorist attack and whatnot. I just, you know, told him simply, you know, a bunch of bad people caused these two buildings to fall down and a lot of people died. And, you know, it kind of piqued his curiosity, not so much like the morbidity of it, but like, wow, like he saw pictures of the old buildings and like, you know, these buildings are gone, but there's this new building they're putting up and there's like all this new stuff. So, I mean, I get the curiosity thing, but dude, I got home like about an hour or two after it all happened because everything just started shutting down, as you guys know. And 10 o'clock in the morning, people are already on eBay selling 9/11 World Trade Center.
That is so shameless. Memorials.
Yeah, jeez. Dude, it was insane, and it took off like wildfire for every fucking retard, sorry, that was putting stuff up for sale. Everybody was just like upbidding them and cursing them out. The usernames were like "fuck you" and "you're a loser," and it got nasty, dude. It was like, What kind of moral fiber do you have, like, to do something like that? Like, within hours of this tragedy happening, you know, they were still trying to figure out what was going on at this point. And people are on eBay looking to take advantage of it.
And the flip side of there are some good people out there. Like, I use social media every day for stupid shit. And I post every year now my, you know, how I'm feeling. And within 2 hours, I get inboxed by a cousin, a relative, a couple of friends. And Joel Gertner.
Really?
Joel inboxed me and said, thank you. And Joel's thanking me. And I'm thanking him for entertaining me through all this nonsense because they were still relevant at that point. Almost done, pretty much. But he was still around. And he's a New Yorker. He's a Brooklynite, just like me.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what? And he even took one of my lines and asked if I can use it. He asked me, he's like, yeah. He's like, I said like something. He took my Dodgers, but we're still playing ball. He took my Towers, we're still standing tall. He's like, that's amazing. Can I use that? I'm like, yeah, of course, because I'll give you the credit. I'm like, I don't care. And he said, Phil Ray of the Shining Wizards. I'm like, I don't care. You can tell me. I don't give a shit where you put me on. He got me confused with our show and your show. I was like, I don't care. But because at least that was my saving grace that day, that I got fucking free guacamole. And Joel Gertner inboxed me and thanked me for doing nothing, for doing my job.
That's a T-shirt right there, free guacamole and Joel Gertner.
Yeah, you know, and it wasn't a thing where I once in a while, like he'll say something, he'll respond to one of our threads, or he'll, because he's very active on social media, and he's a good dude, you know.
And he's smart, dude.
He's a smart guy. He's humble, and he's a New Yorker. And I know I sound biased, but if you weren't near here or you weren't around when it happened, you truly won't feel the magnitude of it.
Oh, I understand.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I know people, like, they inbox me. They're from Boston. They're from you know, the Midwest, people in Canada, people in Europe, fans of the shows, fans of our networks, and they're like, yo, Phil, man, I, you know, my heart is with you. I can't even imagine. I'm like, dude, you had to be here. You had to be here to experience it. You know, you had to. You had to be in Jersey, or you had to be, you know, in this area. You had to be. Because if you weren't, then I'm not saying you weren't affected, but you weren't here.
You
when
just don't.
You don't. Get, you don't. Won't, you just that. Don't get it, man. It fucked everything up. Go ahead, Shane.
Oh, sorry about that. But you know, like textbooks, they can't even like describe or even like have like the right picture for kids in school if. You know, this is a lesson, or if this is, you know, a part of a history class, because, I mean, it was so detrimental that it, like you said, you had to be there. You had to see this on TV, you know.
I got a nephew who's 11 now, and I had said to my sister a couple when this happened, I'm like, this is going to be in Brandon's textbook. I just want to see how they're going to word it. You know, I want to, because again, like Shane said, you could say, like, listen, when you read stuff and when you were in school, in history class in particular, everybody gets their own. It's like watching wrestling. Like you have 20 people in a classroom reading the
and
same
20 different interpretations.
Right, exactly. Like, you know, somebody. Mm-hmm. I remember being in high school, and when I was in high school, and Tony was in high school the same time as I was, showing our age. The Afrocentric movement was in. People wearing the medallions, and they're wearing the fucking De La Soul Gumby haircuts.
Yeah.
Even the white dudes were doing it, right?
Yep.
So we were talking about – they were talking about slavery and the, you know, the whole – the entire issue was when the slaves were free, they weren't free. And like this dude gets up in the back of the – I'll never forget this. He gets up and he's like, yeah, man. My peoples was enslaved for 400 years, and you know, like they weren't
400
really...
years. Was he Jewish?
Exactly. So now I'm smirking, right? And I'm like, I'm waiting for this idiot to shut up, right? And he's like, yeah, my peoples were enslaved for 400 years, and you know, nobody helped them out, and even when they were freed, they were still the man still held them down. So now finally, I wait for this fucking idiot to get done with a spiel, and I raise my hand. And now my teacher shakes his head because he knows I'm going to respond with something retarded. He goes, all right, Mr. Ray, you want to do a rebuttal? I said, my man, let me ask you a question. I said, when your peoples was free, did anybody go back for your fucking peoples? He's like, what are you talking about, man? I'm like, yo, when you peoples was free, did anybody go back to the motherland and pick up your peoples? Not nope. One paddle, not one canoe, not one fucking raft. I'm like, shut up. It wasn't that long, and people were for themselves anyway. So all this stuff comes full circle, you know. It's a bad cycle when history is bad. People's interpretations of it is.
I don't really. But, that's why I don't trust anything that, you know, really comes out of a textbook. Because
yeah,
textbooks,
I mean,
nowadays love the bullshit history.
The textbooks that I grew up with don't give you. Nothing shady. They got fact.
Yeah.
I mean, fact. This was written in this date. Fact. This fight happened at this time. Fact. This was the, and like, you know, people, you can interpret that all you want. And I don't know how your textbooks look, but my textbooks were pretty old. Like, my textbooks were from like the fucking 70s and 60s. So I got nothing new out of that, you know?
Yeah, but that's probably a period of time where you actually got the truth out of those books. As you get into the 80s, they kind of twist the little things and this and that.
Yeah,
right.
Like, everybody looks at the Civil War, and it's like, the Civil War was about slavery. Yeah, that was part of it, but that wasn't even the big part of it, you know? That was, that like, if you read history properly, that was almost a concession to get rid of slavery for a bunch of other shit that they were looking to do.
Yeah, and you know, for me, the big deal is World War II. And World War II for me was my favorite reading material in school, because I was very, very into the team effort.
Mm-hmm.
Axis powers against the Allied powers, and England stepping in, and like, you know, and I'll tell people to this day that if it wasn't for fucking England's navy, we'd be dead.
That's right.
Those planes were like a godsend. But if you and it, now Britain will tell you this, and they'll tell you that they saved the war. I'm not going to go that far. But, you know, they were very instrumental in getting that airstrike on us and helping with us and helping us out with that. But, again, it's same thing with wrestling. We can all sit in a room, watch the same match, and I guarantee you 85% of us will have a different interpretation of that match. Same concept. It's the same thing. It's you know, it's your interpretation. It's how you look at music, how you look at sports, how you look at anything. It's, you know. I don't know.
Well, I think like when you're talking about like how, I mean, I'm not trying to backtrack or anything, but
yes,
you're
you
talking about how certain things in, you know, textbooks are wrong or anything like that. I feel as though Native Americans don't like get anything when it comes to textbooks. Like they are looked at as savages, like pure like animals.
Well, no, they were fine until we had turkey with them, and then they became sad.
Right, that and most of them weren't that smart. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
they sold fucking Manhattan for what, a bag of beans and $24. What was that story? Right, what was this? Whatever it was. Listen, I have a friend who's a constant smoker, and he's like, I can't get cigarettes no more. I live on Long Island. Go to the Indian reservation. I tell him, oh, you can't go there. Why not? Those government what? The government won't go on those fucking reservations. You know why? Because they're afraid. That's why Indians built those reservations. Kept them so they can have casinos on them, so they can sell cigarettes and all their wares on them. Because the government fucked them so bad that they said, "Hey, we'll throw you a bone. Here, you could sell your stuff on here at a cost or whatever it is."
That was a nice concession to them.
Yeah, really. I mean, we raped and pillaged their lands. Same thing with Columbus. As an Italian-American, you all know Columbus landed in Bermuda first, right?
Of course.
He got off the fucking boat. He raped and pillaged everything that had a that had a hole. He fucked everything with a two tits, a hole, and a heartbeat. And decided that, you know what? Here, I'm going to fuck all these people, steal their shit, and I'll take that and put a flag here.
Yeah, but you also forget that he got most of the funding by fucking around with the Queen of Spain. So right. I think they're in that with that too.
Dude was fucking. He was fucking more than he was discovering. He was discovering pussy, and at the time, and I'm just gonna discover this, and he landed there first, and that's why, you know, you can go to the Bahamas and fucking enjoy your vacation like I did. Even though Nassau looks like Brooklyn with palm trees, but, you know, that's another story.
It's a shame, man. I haven't been to Bermuda in a long time, but I've heard things aren't so great there anymore.
I would never step foot on Bermuda.
I went to the first time I went to the Bahamas was 2 years ago to the Caribbean.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Nassau, man. Nassau's fucking rough.
Nassau's rough. But then the next day, you go on Disney's man-made island, and it's like a fucking postcard, dude. It's like paradise.
Well, not only that, but you head on over to Paradise Island, dude. Paradise Island's awesome.
I took a picture at one point, and my wife went out to the water with my son, and you guys had just did the Scotty Riggs interview.
that four-hour marathon?
So I sat in a beach chair with an umbrella, and I had some kind of, I don't know what the fuck this drink was, but it was exotic and very, very intoxicating. And I sat there and I listened to Scotty Riggs fucking babble for 2 hours on your show. And I was like, man, this is like the best vacation ever.
And then the Midnight Jury thought it was a good idea to put him on for another 2 hours on their show.
And we all told them, listen, that dude's going to talk your head off. And he did. So God bless him.
My favorite part of that interview was Matthew, the guy that does Botchamania over in England. Started commenting that we put up that we were going to do the show, and he's like, oh, you better be ready. He's going to talk for 10 hours. Dude, Scotty on the show called out Matthew and was calling him a keyboard jabroni. We were dying.
That's funny shit.
It was a lot of fun. Hey, I got one last topic I want to ask you about, if you would mind, humoring me for a minute.
I got nothing going on. Go ahead.
You should have went singing, bro. You should have went singing.
No.
I would have went singing karaoke.
Not at that bedbug bud fucking club. No way. Sorry. Go ahead, Tony.
You guys fans of the Olive Garden? Did you hear their promotion that went down this week?
With the car? You mean the fucking the cards they were selling on eBay? You talking about?
Yeah, it was $100. They were selling 1,000 cards. It's all you can eat pasta for like 49 days, plus soda, plus breadsticks.
Kidding me?
No, dude. What? And I didn't find out about it until that morning. And I went online.
This is on eBay?
Well, it was originally on their website, and it went off at 3 o'clock. I forget what day it was. It might have been Tuesday. By 3:45, everything was done. Gone.
Wow.
Yeah, and people were unloading them on eBay. They were getting at least double for them. So.
I ate there twice, Tony. Once not too far from you by the stadium. I forget what town it was in.
Oh, Sea Caucus, right there on Route 3.
Okay, yes, where Channel 9 used to be. Okay, I was there with my family, and I got fucked up on the table one. It was like 50 of us. Literally like 50 of us, people coming in from different parts of the world. We were like, oh, let's go to Olive Garden. I'm like, are you kidding me? What's this leading? We can't fucking cook a pot of gravy? No, go to Olive Garden. All right, they kept bringing me this table wine, and I got polluted. And then I went again to this other spot out in western Pennsylvania somewhere near Pittsburgh, and they had the Tour of Italy, they called it. I don't know if it's still on the menu.
Yeah, I've had that. That was the one thing I had when I went there.
I got to be honest, man. It's I'm kind of spoiled because I grew up with some really good cooks, and to go to these places, it's not like going to to a pizzeria or a pizza or a family restaurant and getting good food. This is like a chain restaurant. So their stuff is like, eh. But some of the stuff wasn't bad. I can't even lie. It wasn't terrible.
No, but
Olive Garden's pretty good.
What's pretty good?
Olive Garden is pretty good.
But it's not terrible, but I get what Phil's saying. When you're used to grandma making a pot of gravy. Sure.
Yeah.
It doesn't really compare. It's good for what it is, but I'm not going there for Hospitaliano thinking that I'm getting, grandma's cooking.
Rage, it's like a Trinidadian going to fucking Golden Crust and getting a beef patty, right? But you can go down the block to Jimmy's on Ocean Avenue and getting the real fucking cocoa bread and the real beef patty, not the fucking pre-made shit from the Golden Crust.
Same man, concept. Golden Crust when I was working in Newark was A-OK.
To me, it's dope. I'm just saying, sometimes.
Which one did you go to?
I think it was the one on Broad.
Yes! There you go.
Not a bad place, except for the homeless guy taking a shit in the alley around the corner.
Seriously.
Amazing things are happening over
and
there.
And that's a true story, and he apologized to us. He's like, I'm sorry, fellas. I just got to do my business.
That's right.
Y'all been to Golden Corral, right?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, you haven't.
Golden Corral? Yeah. You know what? I might have been when I was living out in Harrisburg. I don't remember. It was one of those kinds of buffets, though. But I know the kind you're speaking of.
So I was
a Sizzler guy back in the day.
I don't know if you've heard, but I've been tore down on the network for my opinion of Golden Corral.
But they tore you up, dude, because. If you went to a steakhouse and listen, I'll take you to a steakhouse in the city, and if you tell me that Golden Corral steak is better than the steak I just gave you, I would give you shit. And that's why they gave you shit, okay? Because I used to go to Sizzler all the time when I was a kid, right? And I thought Sizzler was the bee's knees. It's the same concept. You walk in there, they give you the fucking plate. It's like $9.99 all you can eat. My mom would take us there after a funeral. You go there, you load up. Yeah, that was like the spot. There's a German restaurant too called Niederstein's, but you go in there and you load up on this shit, and it's the same concept as Golden Corral. They didn't have the funny chocolate fountain like Golden Corral apparently has. I don't know. I've never been there. But, I go to Peter Luga, or I go to the place out in Bay Ridge, Embers, which only has six things on the menu, and all six of them are fucking steak. If you tell me those places are better than Golden Corral is better than those places, then your taste buds are whack.
Yeah, but you're also spending like $75.
Steak is better than Golden Corral.
What's that, Shane?
I'd say Ponderosa steak is better than Golden Corral.
I've never been to Ponderosa.
I haven't had Ponderosa in years.
We used to have beefsteak Charlie's. There's beefsteak Charlie's we used to have back in the day.
Yes.
That was a fine establishment. There was one actually in, was it Newark? Was it fucking some dive fucking town? Maybe it was South. Maybe it was Camden. I had a bat when I was a kid. I had fucking beefsteak Charlie.
You were in Camden.
Yeah, you went fucking to have a meal in Camden?
No, I was going. Camden, I was going. No, my dude, my family. We drove everywhere.
Shithole.
Yeah, of course
Camden
it
is. Is the biggest fucking shithole.
You could buy a house for $500 in Camden.
I know.
You know how that aquarium's awesome. I tell people this all the time. Camden looks exactly like New Orleans after Katrina.
That's funny.
Man,
it looks like I remember. Years ago, I went to the Camden Aquarium, right?
That's a fun establishment.
There is an aquarium in Camden.
Yeah, I went there in June with the kid.
Yeah. So, you know, we passed through the really shitty spots to get there.
Which is the rest of Camden.
The rest of Camden, indeed. The houses are run down. Like the houses are run down. Most of them are abandoned and fucked up. There is a fiend on every fucking corner. It's like Cleveland. Why does everyone shit on Cleveland?
Jesus. I went to Cleveland. It was a shithole.
I've never been, but I heard it's pretty awful.
It's a shithole.
Come on.
It cannot be that bad. It's a shithole.
Here's what I feel bad for. Some poor slob had to drive around in the Google Maps car through Camden.
Yeah.
And document how awful that neighborhood is.
And it's a,
Camden
it's,
doesn't even have a police force.
And that aquarium is a pretty cool place, man.
Yes. For what it is in the city like that. God.
I don't know, man. It is what it is. I mean, it's funny because a lot of places have a lot of shitty places have fine establishments for some reason, because they outgrow the fucking area, you know. It's like
we're getting a mall in Newark.
Oh, so you get more places to
play. Yeah, and you'll be able to access the mall by getting right off the PATH train in Penn Station and taking five different tunnels through six different buildings to get there.
I live on Bergen Street, so it's a one bus ride away from me. So.
Well, that ain't bad.
No, just pack a box cutter. You'll be all right on the way.
A box cutter.
Jesus,
this guy always.
When the Prudential Center, Tony, when the Prudential Center, I was telling Rages when he came to Ring of Honor with me, when the Prudential Center opened, Metallica was touring, and I took my stepdad for his birthday. We went to the Metallica show, and he parked like in this some lot like across from the fucking arena, and it was like
it's a pretty much it's a parking lot.
Yeah, but you have to walk to it, you know. So, you know. The further down we got, it was like, okay. I said he was a police officer at the time. I'm like, you do have your stuff, right? He's like, no. I'm like, really?
No?
No. You don't have your fucking piece with you? He's like, it's in the car. So you didn't
what?
I was like, dude. I said, you're lucky I have a fucking box cutter in my wallet. Because if you did, because you know some dude's going to try to fucking.
Is so not that bad. Oh, my God.
I don't know, dude.
It's not that bad anymore.
I grew up in North Brooklyn. It was fucking pretty bad. It looked just as bad.
It's not terrible around Prudential Center, but you'll know, man. You go down like Lyons Ave area, that's rough ass Newark.
Lyons Avenue is pretty fucked.
That's fucked up Newark.
He knows Newark.
Delivery years ago down to St. Mary's Hospital, and like whenever I was making deliveries, I'd leave the key in the truck, I'd leave it unlocked. My old man told me, he's like, you lock that shit up wherever you leave it. I don't care if it's in the parking lot of the hospital, you lock it up.
Yeah,
it's no joke down there, Lyons Ave, man.
Downtown Newark is pretty. It's pretty cool. The only reason I don't like it is because I see people that I did not fucking like in high school every damn day, and that sort of annoys me.
Because they robbed you, or because you just didn't like?
It's not because they robbed.
Oh, okay, I'm just making sure. I'm just making sure.
They didn't rob me.
All right, I'm just making sure. I had to fight for my clothes too, dude. I was awkward. Listen, I know it is.
No, it's just I just had beef with these dudes in high school, and I didn't fucking like them at all. I'll tell you, I kid you not. I'll be honest. I kind of carry a knife with me.
If I lived in Newark, I would too, dude. Come on.
I carry a knife with me.
I would too.
So
yeah, you too. Switchblade.
This guy who always used to fuck with me. And like my sophomore year of high school, and I was nothing. And me, mind you, this is when I was like a freshman class president. This guy used to always fuck with me and then ask me to do shit for him. Because
you were a class president, that's why.
Because I was a class president.
You a smart nigga. We don't get you a nigga.
So we didn't have contact for years. So I saw him right down the street, walking across. I swear to you, I had my knife in my hand. I was like, I swear I want to go over there and stab this motherfucker.
Wow, wait a minute. I carried my stuff to defend myself. I didn't want to intentionally stab
him. But this guy, I know it's not good to have grudges, but I have grudges that are years. So I'm sorry.
You gotta erase that hate, brother. You gotta erase that hate.
I know I gotta erase it.
Or just stab a motherfucker.
Just stab him.
I should stab him. Fucking.
You know, not to kill him. Just give him a little wound, you know?
So I'll, I'll just give him a little peck and run.
Merely a flesh wound.
Flesh wound.
Flesh wound. That's right, Shane. Merely a flesh wound.
Put a Z on his cheeks. He'll remember you for the rest of his life.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, boys, I'm out. I got to go put the little guy to bed. This was awesome, dude. Thank you so much for getting on live tonight, man. This was a lot of fun.
No problem, Tony. Anything coming up for you guys this week besides the weekend stuff? Or
I'm probably not going to be on the show Tuesday. I think it's going to be a Studio B production. I got a couple of things I got to take care of this week before then.
All right.
But we do have something in the works. I can't spoil it yet because I reached out to a group. So we might be doing a little charity work, but I'll let you guys know that when the time comes. But awesome. we got a few things in the works right now.
And then we will be with you guys Saturday morning in beautiful Monroe, New Jersey.
Monroe,
Jack.
See,
and Sarah.
This is why I wish I lived in New Jersey, man.
No, you don't.
I'm in Texas. Ass up there.
Yeah, Legends of the Ring at the Crown Plaza Hotel. Actually,
I need to fucking get there.
Our buddy Axel Foley's coming down from up north there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we're going to have some good – my shirt came in the mail today, my NES shirt, so we should be all right. We're ready to go.
Nice.
Shining Wizards, Ricky Steamboat, and then that night, PWS. It's going to be a night of champions before the night of champions. How about that?
And Shane, if you're down in Texas, man, make sure you check out our boy, One Man Mike Dell. He works all the NWA territories down there.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
And, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And Shane, you got to start going to Booker T's promotions so you can start being our correspondent over there.
Well, hey, you know, I went to one of his shows like 2 months ago, and it was really good. Like, I had guys I have no clue who they are, but like,
who cares? As long as entertaining.
Eric Badu's got a promotion.
It was cool.
Yeah.
Reality of wrestling.
All right, Tony, we'll let you go, brother. Thanks for calling, and we appreciate it.
No problem, guys. This was a pleasure. All mine. Thanks for having me on.
I'll see you later, man.
Later, boys.
All right. See ya.
Always nice to hear from Shining Wizards, Tony. All right. All right. So, yeah, man, Shane, you need to start corresponding with us from out there, man. It got some good stuff going on down in Texas.
Yeah, for the matches that they had on there, the whole card, it was really long. It was like 4 hours, man.
All right.
And then they had a battle royal at the end. It was awesome. But it was way too long. But it was something different. They do local TV there, so he has like a spot on local TV for Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool. Like his wife was there. He had some of his kids there. He was there, and then that was just about it. So it was pretty different.
All right, you guys want to hang? I know Rage. You're going on 11, right? With the Colin guys.
Sadly, unfortunately.
All right. You guys want to hang out with me for a little while longer? I'm just gonna play some quick spots.
Yeah,
I'm gonna run to the head real quick, and then I'll be.
I'm
right.
About to make me a fucking plate. All
right, so I'm gonna you guys hang on the line. Let me play some spots real quick, and I'll be right back.
Gotcha.
Alrighty.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
There are many ways you can support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Go to iTunes. Search the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media. Leave a review. While you're there, check out all the other fine programming we have. We're on Stitcher. We're on Buzzsprout. We're on Geek Life Radio every Saturday evening. What are you waiting for? Check us out. You want to email us? turnbuckletrowbacks1@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at TBuckleTbacks. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/turnbuckletrowbacks. Join the group that we have as well. And we have t-shirts, kids, t-shirts. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckletrowbacks. We have three designs, the original logo, the NES cartridge parody logo, and the British-inspired World of Sport Shining Wizards Network Turnbuckle Throwbacks t-shirt. It's the Rant. It's the Shining Wizards Network. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. It's entertainment here. Yo, Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, inviting you to listen to yet another one of my favorite podcasts, Wrestling Soup. Go to WrestlingSoup.com, join my pals Joey Numbers and Anthony Missionary Thomas as they sometimes talk about wrestling, sometimes make you laugh, sometimes piss everybody off, and kick ass doing it. So join them every week on WrestlingSoup.com. Yes, wrestling-news.com. That's right, wrestling-news.com. Check out the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show every Monday live at 11:15, right after Monday Night Raw. Join Don, Tony, and my pal Kevin Castle as they just do it like they've been doing it for almost a decade. So check them out, wrestling-news.com. Doing it big, doing it New York style, wrestling-news.com.
What's up? It's Mike from The Midnight Jury. The Midnight Jury is a podcast where you, the listener, are able to be transported back to the 80s and 90s every Friday to talk about everything pro wrestling, pop culture, and horror. From segments such as My Five Fun Facts in Under 2 Minutes and Adam's Finally Rediscovered, to past guests such as Jake the Snake Roberts, Buff Bagwell, and the horror icon, Chucky himself, Ed Gale, you will find yourself going back to the days before iPhones and social media, to when it was all about records, Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Find us on Facebook and Twitter and join myself and my co-host Adam every Friday on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Audioboo for the Shining Wizards Network, and Fridays at 5, 4 Central to start your weekend on Geek Life Radio. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
Tag teams of all time, the Midnight Express. All right, welcome back. It's open mic night. We haven't even spoken about wrestling. I think we spoke about wrestling for like 2 minutes. Me and Rage did before everybody else started calling in. I don't know. You guys are still with me?
Hell yeah.
All right, then. All right. So, I need a fridge in my man cave, man. I definitely need a fridge in my man cave. Going downstairs and getting beverages while I'm doing a show is for the birds. There, I gotta convince my wife. I gotta convince my wife to get me a fucking to let me get a fridge in my man cave. My man cave is between my two bedrooms in my on the second floor of my home. And I wasn't even supposed to get the man cave. The plan was when we bought the house last year that we were gonna have another child, and then my wife and I decided we weren't. So I said, if you're not going to let me knock you up, I'm going to make this a man. I'm going to make this a man cave, and that's what I did. So anyway, so what's on your mind? What should we talk about?
Is Rage there? Where'd he go?
I don't know. He's probably making a sandwich. He's got. Yeah. He has his own show to get ready for. He's going on the air in about an hour. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So. But he'll be back on. He's connected. He's probably going to make himself a sandwich. Good old sandwich.
What did you think about the? Did you watch the Takeover special?
I did. I mentioned it in the opening of the show. I loved it. You know what? Renee Young got some shit from our peers, and I said, "Now, did you listen to the last throwback I did with
yeah.
Nate?" Okay, so she's not as bad as fucking Mongo. I can tell you that. But Renee Young got some shit, and I was like, you know what? She's not as bad as Mongo. Let me tell you.
What the hell
does
she do?
No, they would. Sheena asked how I felt about the NXT Takeover show, and I thought it was awesome.
Oh, man.
I thought it was awesome, but I was telling him like our peers were shitting on Renee Young, and I was like, you know, she's not as bad as Mongo was on Nitro. I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
I you know what? And I'm not as
she's not bad.
I'm not as critical as I am of you know, Cole and JBL and Lawler. You know what I'm saying? I think if this is like this is as great as NXT is, this is still like the B squad. Or even I guess the C squad if you count SmackDown, right?
Yeah.
So I mean I can't really be real critical of these guys because some of them have been on regular TV with them already. Like Renee Young's doing the backstage stuff now, isn't she? I don't have an issue with her. I thought the card was really good. I enjoy the Italian guy, the Enzo guy. He was pretty fucking funny.
Enzo Amore, yeah.
He's actually a Jersey guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I enjoyed him. I enjoyed well,
how you don't.
Yeah, the Ascension guy. Now the Ascension guys, I'm assuming now are going to be up on a regular roster now because they were doing some house.
Thank God.
They were doing some house shows with dark matches, and then they were on TV. They weren't on TV, and now they dropped the belts to Kalisto and Sin Cara. So I'm assuming they're going to be on regular TV now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The only thing I like about them is their music, and that's about it.
You know what, Shane? I have to agree with you.
I don't like Sin Cara one bit.
Well, no. You mean the Ascension, Shane?
Yeah.
You know what? I got to tell you. They do the Total Elimination, which I love. You know how I love the Eliminators, one of my favorite teams.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying they're terrible, and I have to agree with you. I'm not saying they're bad. I just. They haven't grown on me yet. Maybe if you give them some prolific matches with like maybe if I see them go 10, 12 minutes with the Usos or the Wyatts or, you know, maybe the Goldust Stardust tandem. You know what I'm saying? Like if they do something with them and they impress me, but I got to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of them right now. So I got to be honest with you. I agree.
I love the Ascension. I think they can do well.
I'm not saying they're going to do bad. I just think I agree with Shane. I'm not feeling them, but I'm glad they're getting a bump up. You know, I'm always happy when guys get the bump up, though, you know? I think it's imperative. Yeah, yeah. I think it's imperative that you start rotating some of these young guys. And some of them aren't.
I just want them to be used and used well. That's all I ask for.
That's what every wrestling fan hopes for and prays for. But unfortunately, you know how this goes. People aren't writing like they used to. People are, and we talk about, we beat this with a dead horse, you know. Dave and I talk about it all the time. If you're going to, you know, if you're going to rotate somebody, like, how is Sami Zayn not on TV? Mm-hmm. You know, how even Aaron Neville, I know it was Adrian, I call him Aaron. But even Aaron Neville, I mean, it's why is he not on TV? You know, I don't understand.
I mean, he looks like he can be a pretty good cult favorite. Even with the kids.
Again, I why is he not on TV? Because they don't write and stuff for him, you know. I did enjoy the Instagram pictures prior to the event with Triple H and Steen and all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an issue with them changing Kenta's name. Kenta's already been on a bunch of tapings. Apparently, he's going to use a double foot stomp as one of his finishers.
Oh, the Warriors Way shit. I like that.
Yeah, that's fine. This is a Japanese CM Punk without the attitude. That's what you're getting. That's this. You know, Punk and Kenta have like the same movesets, so mm-hmm. That's what you're getting in terms of talent. And I think Kenta is a bit more polished. If I was comparing him to CM Punk's moveset, Punk just has Punk had the complete package. Punk had the promos and all the shit down. Of course, Kenta still has to learn English, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I love him. They have a really good thing down there, honestly. They have a really good thing, and for people, it's amazing how it's like night and day, how they can have these amazing matches down in NXT, and then you watch 3 hours of shit on Raw the next day. It's a contrast, and it's pretty much what you expect. Even the Divas match impressed me, and I don't like, you guys know I don't like women's
wrestling. The Divas match was incredible.
Of course, Charlotte's fucking moves.
As much as I don't like Charlotte, and as much as I think she's not that good of a wrestler, she impressed the hell out of me. And I'm already a big fan of Bayley.
I gotta tell you though, you're not a big fan of Charlotte, and I could see why. you see some of her movesets, but I got to tell you, dude, there's so much upswing with her. There's so much upside to her. Like, I think she's going to be – she's athletic. I think she – and my son pointed this out to me yesterday. He goes, she can move really well in the ring. And this is a 7-year-old telling me this. And I said, you know,
your son.
He's amazing. Oh, he's amazing. And I said, you're right, buddy. He can move. She can move. But when she missed that – when she hit that moonsault and didn't connect, like, we both looked at each other like, really? Like, it was really that blatant, you know? But, again, I enjoyed it, and I enjoy what they're doing with some of these guys. It's just a matter of how you would rotate them up. And everybody's like, oh, you got to bring them up now. You can, but you can't. Don't bring Kevin Steen up if you have nothing for him. Don't bring Aaron Neville up if you don't have nothing for him. Don't bring up Sami Zayn if you have nothing for him.
Same with Devin.
Oh, man. What?
He didn't make his debut. Work.
No, not yet. But if you guys were you guys listening on the Ustream feed before you guys called in? Were you guys listening?
On YouTube.
Well, it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, it was broadcasting on YouTube. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I played that clip of that beat in the beginning. That's one of the Bullet Club songs. I got off YouTube, right? Oh, you know that, right? So I get the fucking. I'm listening. I'm watching the clip on YouTube, and they just show a whole a segment on Devitt in this 3-minute song, and I'm like, oh man, just like
there's two different songs. There's one with where it's like almost like a hip hop type deal.
That's what
kind
I played.
Of like urban almost.
That's what I
played.
Yeah,
and then there's one with AJ Styles. So I don't know.
Look, I played this, Shane. I played this. And all it is Devitt coming out of the coffin. They showed a Young Bucks, but they showed Devitt's moveset at one point. Let me play this for a second. But, I'm very high on Prince Devitt. Yeah. He's going to be the X Factor. If they can, just don't, and I mentioned this on Facebook the other day, if they could, like, not... Don't go away from their character as much. They, you know, don't give them a fucking cheesy character.
Yeah,
but that's how I was playing before.
But, awesome.
Yeah, you know, Prince Devitt is that guy. You know, I think he could be that guy. You know, you can. I would if I was starting a franchise. If I was starting a Fed, I would. You know, Triple H single-handedly signed. From Canada to the UK to Japan, he just signed all of the top talent in the Indies single-handedly in the last couple of months. And I don't think he'll get the credit for it yet because they're in NXT, you know? Now they'll come on NXT and they'll do amazing. Listen, I say what you want about Steen. Steen is amazing.
He's a fucking monster.
For his size... he's graceful. His moveset is good. I love his package pile driver. I loved his, you know, I love everything about him. I love Devitt. I love Kenta. And Mega Powers is huge on Kenta because, again, Noah, he put Noah on the map.
Yeah.
You know, he solidified
Noah.
Do
you feel like WWE is going to clean, I don't want to say clean them up, but clean them up to... make them for WWE standards?
I don't know. I don't know. You know what? It's funny because I like I said, if they can bring these guys up and keep them as close to their character as they were in the Indies, you know, the whole name thing is a big thing too. Like, you know, these guys don't want to use their they want to own their names and shit like that, and that's fine. So give me some other name. I don't care. Call me fucking Howdy Doody as long as I get a as long as you give me a spot on Raw. I can care less. But, you know, just keep me true to my character. Let me cut my promos like Steen. Steen is almost a complete package. He can cut promos. He can wrestle. I don't know if he'll work with some of the guys up there. Like, I can't see him doing a program with, like, Randy Orton. I mean, I can, but I can't. Like, I mean, I'm just trying to, like, I'm trying to book him. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So,
it's kind of funny because, like, him and, you know, Sami Zayn are, like, they're both Canadian. And I think if they want to, you know, have another tag team, them two together are, like, indestructible.
They can be good.
Like,
well, they were a tag team, and they were rivals. They were bitter rivals. That's how I got into Steam.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, those guys are awesome.
And I love Bull Dempsey. I really do.
He impressed me. All those guys.
I really do like Bull Dempsey, man.
I did. There wasn't. It was cool because there wasn't a bad match on that card.
Nope.
So, again, it's a contrast of styles comparing the that show to Raw.
And, again, that's disappointing for WWE. I know NXT is a part of WWE, but when you call it the C show, if your C show is better than your A and your B, that's a problem.
It's a problem if it's a problem when it's not when you're not when it's not recognized. Like, you know, Raw is still the flagship. Like, Raw is still what, you know, what people go to watch. Nobody's watching unless you have the network, you're not watching NXT. You know what I'm saying? So up until a couple of months ago, you had to get on Hulu or you had to get on a download. Now that you have this international audience and now you have over 1 million subscribers, it's going to put them on the map. And I think now, I'm hoping anyway, and you guys can disagree with me or agree with me, doesn't, you know, whatever. It's what makes the world go round. But I think now that all three shows are showcased either on cable television or on a network, I think the other two are not going to have a choice but to step their game up.
True.
You know, if you if you've noticed, there hasn't been a bad pay-per-view on WWE programming since the network debuted. Have you all sat around and said, "Oh, this is a terrible pay-per-view"? That was a terrible pay-per-view.
I don't want to say terrible, but
They've been all right. Okay, but have you had a bad pay-per-view?
Shane, I haven't had that.
Shane, have you had a bad pay-per-view since the network?
No, not that I can think of.
All right, then. So you see where I'm going with this? I think there's a bit of a transition that you're not seeing on Raw because Raw has been the shits lately, you know?
True.
But, like, Dave came over for SummerSlam, right? And we're watching SummerSlam, and I was on a pre-show with you guys prior with Dave, and we were talking, and I said, and Dave and I said it both. Dave and I said, you know what? They're going to have to come correct tonight. And they came correct. It wasn't as what we expected, but they came correct. And every pay-per-view since WrestleMania has been decent. They only once did they follow up a pay-per-view with a good Raw, because the Raws have been shit. The last couple of months. Let's be honest, man. Let's call a spade a spade.
Oh, you're right.
Okay.
You're right.
So that's where my head is at.
I didn't even watch SmackDown on Friday.
I don't watch it. I watch it with the kid once. We DVR it, and that's about it. But to get back to your question, though, Shane, I enjoyed it. I thought it was top notch. I thought it was decent. I feel like I just can't wait till these guys start wrestling. I want to see Devitt. I want to see Steen. I'm dying to see them, like, go. I want to see what kind of characters they get. I want to see their progression now that they have a platform, you know? So,
yep.
I don't know. That's how I feel.
I just love it. Go ahead.
No, you're good, man. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No. I insist. Go ahead.
One of you motherfuckers better talk before I hang up on you both.
All right. Do you think how NXT is with it? Okay, there's three different, you know, brands or whatever. Do you think they could have done this with Velocity or Heat back then?
I don't think so.
You mean like showcase talent like that? Like bringing up in like these. The young guys?
Exactly.
They could have. I don't think. They only started doing a developmental thing with the Ohio Valley. That was, honestly, before that, they had territories, but it wasn't like a thing where they were known. So you had Ohio Valley, Florida Championship, and now you have NXT, which is still Florida. But
yeah.
I mean, you could have. I mean, I don't. I mean,
you know, but I think they did do it with Velocity and Heat. I just don't think it was done well.
No, they just put on guys that were on the pre-show. Like they would that Velocity and Heat were preludes to they were the pre-shows to pay-per-views. Pay-per-view started back in the day. I don't know if you guys might be too young for this, but when pay-per-view first started, they would give you like a half hour of they would give you an hour or half hour of live coverage. It just wasn't a pre-show. You got a pre-show, you got a match, you got like a sort of what they do now, but
not when I first ordered a pay-per-view.
Right,
back
you would get a you guys would get a half hour of the preview of what's gonna
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, we would just get
you wouldn't get a match unless you went to when MTV was doing Sunday Night Heat. That was your free match. You got the match before pay-per-view. That's what you got.
Yeah.
But you know they weren't showcasing talent. They were just showcasing guys that weren't on fucking on regular TV. I mean, you would get like, and you get good wrestling though. You would get like a Steve Blackman match, you know. You would get like a D'Lo Brown match because those guys could work, you know.
Yep.
But you wouldn't get like anything else, which is, you know, sucky. But you same thing with WCW though. Sometimes WCW, the Clash of the Champion cards were, and they were free, were way better than the pay per views. You know, and it was free. They were free. You had like Hollywood Blondes and Flair against Flair and Anderson. I mean, come on, you had great matches, you know. But it is what it is. But they could have. I mean, I just didn't think they weren't advertising as such, you know. So
yeah, WWE needs comp. I mean, I look at what's on the network, and I still think that some of the old shows they should bring back and put on the network. Like, I still think Confidential should be on there. Call me crazy, but I think they should bring back Shotgun Saturday Night. I really do.
Hell yeah.
Dude,
I really do.
We talked about that a few months ago, didn't we?
It'd be awesome.
Yeah. You know, I really do. Like, it's they could do so much with that. It could go to so many different just out of the realm kind of places. Like I could see them putting a ring where could they put it? Grand Central. Why not? Put it in Penn Station, New York Penn Station, even my Penn Station, fucking anywhere. You could put it anywhere. Put it in the middle of Times Square. Yeah, why not?
That would be badass.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
The restaurant, I mean, the WWE New York didn't make a lot of money, which sucks. I went there a few times.
I went there once when I was little. I loved it.
I loved it. You know what? It's, you know what's funny? And they had their finger on the pulse of a lot of things. I just feel like wrestling isn't as popular to the older demographic as it is to the younger demographic. In other words, you couldn't do this now with the parks and all this other shit. You'd have to, I mean, it's not as popular as it used to be, let's be honest. And I don't feel like my 7-year-old would go to, I can't bring him to a restaurant like that or where they serve alcohol and shit like that, or I can't bring him to like a place where, like, it's hard. Like, I wouldn't be able to.
If WWE New York was still around, you wouldn't take them there?
If it was kid orientated, yeah. Like, I couldn't take my kid to ECW. Like, when we took a trip to Philly last year, I took him to the actual arena, but it was closed. But I showed him where I was, and I showed him where you know, the building, and I showed him the signs, and I showed him the area. But I let's be honest, if this was 1994, I was a dad, I couldn't take him to that, you know, that kind of thing. I think as a parent, I have a responsibility, obviously. I mean, and he knows. He watches some of the stuff. I let him watch some of the stuff. But, I mean, and some guys don't have smart wrestling fans as kids. Some kids take that to, you know. But I couldn't show. Like, Shotgun Saturday Night was a bit racy. Like, they showed TNA, like, tits and ass and sloppy Ahmed Johnson dropping people, you know. But you know, to be honest, I mean, I wouldn't mind it. But again, you have 10 hours of fucking programming now on. Think about it. You got Raw. You have Main Event. You have fucking...
They could get rid of fucking Superstars, honestly.
Well,
yeah.
Right. Raw, Main Event, you have Superstars. Then you have Impact. Then you have SmackDown. I mean,
NXT.
You have over 10 hours of programming a week. You know? And I think it's overkill. I think it's, you know, you could make it, you know, internet only. Like, you know, Ring of Honor does that too. They'll show stuff, their TV shows, if you don't have them, if they don't, you know, if they're not syndicated in your area, they have like a plan where you could buy a, like they have like a Ringside package online. It's like
I have that. Yeah,
you have it.
Yeah,
it's
gave
awesome.
Me. It's a,
how much is
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
Lee
gave me a password. So
how much is that? Because I if it's like I want to get it, I just can't afford it right now. It's like if
well, I got. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Shane.
I got like a standard package. It gave me a free hat. So
and how much was that? How much was that? If you don't mind me asking.
I want to say it was like, I know it's more than the network, but it's so much better though, because like I got it like I want to say like 7 or 8 months ago. I have to look on the website. Again,
Mike
but...
Tyson's on the Showtime pay-per-view.
I'm on the Zola to keep from killing y'all. Yeah, I got. You know what? Someone's got to get me a fucking password because I really want to check that out. But yeah,
okay.
But...
Well, I mean, I could give you mine.
Well, make sure. Yeah, you could do that. Yeah, inbox view that shit later on or whatever. I want to see some of it because I gotta,
yeah.
You know. But. And I, you know what? I just, again, it's a bit overkill with the E, you know? I just feel like if you're going to have compelling TV, like, you know what? I'd rather see 2 hours of NXT than Main Event and Superstars. But I see where they're going with that. Like, Main Event and Superstars are matches that are not going to be on Raw. They're not going to be on SmackDown. You know, I don't know. I don't know how I would do it. I just know that it's just an overkill of
time. They're becoming the new Velocity and Heat, if you really think about it.
But that's true. But I mean, I'd rather go back to like what it was. If like for me, if I was like planning out this whole week or whatever, to me, Main Event would be on Saturday on the network every Saturday. Because it should be it's Saturday night's Main Event. It's what it is, and that's what it should be. Superstars, I would keep Superstars, but I would sort of rebrand it for. I would make it strictly for your mid card talent, so they can get that airtime that they deserve and some of them actually need. I would move NXT to Thursday, since you know if they're not gonna put SmackDown back on Thursday, then NXT should move back to Thursday, and it should be a 2-hour show, and it should be at 8 o'clock.
See, I would do Saturday Night's Main Event every 3 months. You have then you would have four of them. You have four main events a year, and you would showcase storylines building up the pay per views. If you take four of them, and now take four of those and build them to Rumble, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and Mania. Your four big pay-per-views. You can showcase storylines leading up to those pay-per-views.
I have it started at 11 o'clock like they did on NBC.
But you put them on the network. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You can put them at fucking 2 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't matter. I'm saying you could make it live, put it at 11 o'clock, put it on a network, and then... It could be a prelude to the Rumble, a prelude to Survivor Series, a prelude to SummerSlam. How awesome would that be?
Very good.
That would be, yeah.
That would be good.
You know,
now,
I mean,
would you put any title changes on that side event or anything like
taken
that?
Taken away from pay. See, that's a good question. I don't know. You know what, Shane? It would depend on. It's overkill because you have the pay per views every month. But. You know what? If it's a swerve, maybe the Money in the Bank guy cashes in on Saturday Night's Main Event. You know, maybe a tag team title. I wouldn't drop a world title on Saturday Night's Main Event, though.
No.
I mean, listen, Andre got away with it, and he cheated. That was pretty cool. But you know, I think I would, in storyline, drop a U.S. title. Why not? Divas title. Why not? Tag team. Why not? You know, I would put me. Listen, you know how old school I am. I'd bring back the fucking King of the Ring, man. I just you want to talk? Listen, there's so many things that you can, you know, and they bought all the WCW rights. I would bring back a Fall Brawl. I would bring back a you know, Bash at the Beach or Beach Blast. I would bring back a War Games. I would bring back a King of the Ring. I think there's enough content now. Now that you have the network, you can just so many things you could do. I would put some of that stuff. You could put it on the NXT. You could make an NXT King of the Ring. You know, you can make a,
ooh,
yeah, ooh, like, you know, something stupid, like make them the King of the Ring, make them, yeah,
because, I like that. That's right, awesome.
Right, but I'm saying, like, you can, there's so many things you can do. And again, I was listening to Vince Russo the other day on his podcast, and he was defending himself and trying, you know, he's like, well, you know, I was a writer, and you know, not every time I wrote something, they agree with me, and blah 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 blah, and you know, and but. Yeah, and I was telling Dave this on the show, if you listen to the show last week, the difference between us saying that we can write something and him who actually did it is the fact that nobody's in our ear telling us no. Like, yeah, you know, you guys just told me I'd bring back Shotgun, I'd bring back this, and I said, yeah, and I would bring back this, and I'd bring... Nobody's telling us, no, Shane, you can't do that. No, Rage, you can't bring back Shotgun Cyanide. No, Phil, you can't bring back King of the Ring. There's nobody telling us that. It's just a credit to the fans of the show and to us as wrestling fans that, you know, we have the knack to do that. And we all have our ideas, and some of them don't work. Listen, me saying that King of the Ring would be it's a good idea to us three. But maybe if you ask seven more people in the survey, they may say, you guys are fucking delusional bringing that back. You know, but how fun was that? How fun was Booker T was annoying, but how fun was he? How fun was Duggan and Bret Hart and Steve Austin and
Macho Man.
Who else won it? Oh, Don Morocco, I think, won the first one.
Mabel.
all right. Now you're reaching. Now you're reaching. Fucking Mabel. Nice guy, but not King of the Ring. But you see where I'm going with this. There's so many elements. And that's why I do an old school wrestling podcast, because it's never going to be the way it is, and you're never going to have the feel of it anymore, because it's watered down. It's a different product. It's leaned more towards sports entertainment than it is towards wrestling. Mm-hmm. And that's just how it is, boys. That's just how it is. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah,
you're right. You are right.
But dead air going on.
No. I'm just, you know, I don't want to do all the talking. You guys want to, you know. I was actually taking a sip of my Pepsi Max over here.
When is Night of Champions? Next Sunday?
Next Sunday. Coverage on the rant, cheap plug. Starts at 7 p.m. I'm pretty much a lock for that. I know Rage will probably be on it. Tony C. It's going
to
be fun.
You know I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
to that ass.
I'm excited for Night of Champions.
I don't give a damn about every... I don't give a damn about any of it. Any other match on that card, even the triple threat match, which you know, has AJ and Paige, and I'll talk about AJ and Paige in a minute, but I don't care about any other match on the card except for Cena and Lesnar. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
excited for Miz and Ziggler. That's pretty much it. You know.
I haven't built that match enough for me.
Well, I love Ziggler. You know how I feel about Ziggler.
Yeah.
And I hated The Miz, but he grew on me after that WrestleMania match he had a few years ago. And I like his. I like the way they repackaged him. I do.
What? You
I do.
Like this?
I do.
Kanye West Miz.
I do, man. I like Kanye Miz. I don't mind it. You know what? And and you know what's funny is that this gimmick has been going on for so long. Rick Martel did it. A bunch of guys did that whole... Lex Luger did it. Everybody had that narcissistic, I'm the man, I'm good-looking, fucking Al Perez did it back in the day in Texas. It's been done already, and it's cool, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It's just how I feel. You guys can disagree with me. It's fine. I like when you bring back some old shit. I do. I enjoy it. I do. I really enjoy it. So
I would like to see, and this is, I mean, it's pretty much taken from Mortal Kombat, but I'd like to see him do like a Johnny Cage type thing where he leaves an 8x10 sign when he defeats someone.
Yeah, just
like that would be awesome.
Yeah, just don't bring back Glacier, right?
That's... Yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
I don't know.
No, that's a cool idea. I dig that. Yeah. You know, I just think I'm excited for that match, and I'm with the Lesnar thing. Listen, and I'll talk about it on Wednesday with Mega Powers. I think it's. I don't want to give away too much with our predictions because we have a big show coming up on Wednesday. We actually got that girl, little Egypt from Glow calling in, and a bunch of other shit going on. But I think you have to know that this whole Lesnar Cena thing is going to pick up some steam. Cena's promos have been a lot better lately.
Mm-hmm.
I think the mean streak thing is good for the I'm enjoying this. It's getting a proper build, you know, since SummerSlam. I dig it, and I think it's going to be around for a little while.
Yeah,
I really do. I don't think it's going to be a one shot done. I don't think Cena's going to win the belt back right away. And like I said a couple weeks ago, you could stretch this to Mania if you really really wanted to. You could stretch it to Mania. You could throw a couple more guys into the mix. I don't see it, but you can. And you could honestly run with this till the end of the year. Honestly, you could. Until Royal Rumble. You have the money. You have the money in the bank thing going on. You have, you know, Dean Ambrose is doing his movie. When he gets back, you have him. Lord knows when Daniel Bryan's coming back, but you have. You know what I'm saying?
He ain't coming back at... People say he's not coming back until 2016.
I feel so bad for him.
I really do.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's rough when it's rough when you get the keys to the kingdom and you can't play. But you know, in a way, and I mentioned this on the show too, and I think I mentioned it with Double A too on one of your shows. I think I mentioned it on your show, Rage, on the call-in show when I called in a few weeks ago. Was that Daniel Bryan's not used to wrestling that kind of style, and when you give him a belt and you throw him in there with Big Show and fucking Mark Henry as your feuds, how of course your body's gonna get beat up. He took a beating the last fucking half a year of his career, you know. So I, you know, it is what it is. I'd like to see him back. If not, then you have to make that next guy. The Roman Reigns factor is, I don't think he's ready yet, but, I mean, he's obviously the next guy they're grooming for something. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's elements there, but you can push. I can keep that belt on Brock Lesnar until at least the Royal Rumble. Honestly. Honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly, I could do that without even hesitation. Because you could sell him. He's a legit badass. You could sell him.
Oh, yeah.
And that's pretty much it, man. I don't, you know, there's, I mean, I'll talk about it more on Wednesday, but anything else you guys want to talk about before I wrap it up? I know Rage has to get ready for his show soon, so.
This AJ and Paige thing is really, really, like, the way they look at each other. I know wrestling fake, whatever, but just the way they look at each other, the way they interact with each other, like, I just sit there and I go, like, can you just tear each other's clothes off and fuck in the middle of that ring? I'm sorry, but that's the vibe I get from those two. It is so awesome. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're really good friends behind the scenes, though. Because they have that chemistry, I think, too. Like,
Punk is such a lucky motherfucker. He's so lucky.
Yeah, he's got Jay Lethal sloppy seconds. He's real lucky. anyway.
That's a good piece of ass.
Anyway. I'm not convinced of with Paige yet. I don't think Paige is has done anything good up in the E yet. I think her stuff compared to NXT is apples and oranges. I think she has not impressed me yet.
I think that's their fault. I think they watered her down a bit.
Well, maybe they'll come correct and Maybe she'll be. Maybe she's just getting better, you know. And AJ's good in the ring too. AJ's not. Listen, I hate women's wrestling, but the division stepped up in the last couple of months, man. I got to be honest with you. Between NXT and the main roster, you know, when I was a kid, women's wrestling was a side attraction. It was an attraction. It wasn't even considered a legit match on the card. It was an attraction. It was like a midgets match. It was like, you know, it was a bat. It was like a gimmick match. Women's wrestling was never taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, it's evolved. I mean, you have organizations like Shimmer and WSU and all this other shit, Bombshells, and, you know, of course, all the Joshi shit in Japan. Joshi wrestling.
Wrestlelicious.
That's right. Good point. But I mean, all those brands are, they have legit badasses. As a matter of fact, doesn't Sarah Del Rey run? Doesn't she train now for NXT?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So she was amazing. I thought anyway. You know, and you got girls in the indies. You know, you got fucking Missy Sampson, who I'm a big fan of over here in Pro Wrestling Syndicate in Jersey. There's a bunch of chicks. I mean, there's girls that can legit go. But it was never taken seriously. And I think if more emphasis was put on women's wrestling, it's not, then, you know, I think TNA does a better job of that with the knockouts. They did at one point. Now they don't do it now.
They don't have enough of them.
Right, but they did at one point. They did at one point, and they put a lot of emphasis into the knockouts division. And I'm happy for that. When they had Mickey James and Gail Kim and Awesome Kong and what's her face, the train wreck, Angelina Jolie, and then Velvet Sky and all those other chicks, ODB, and when they were all there at the same time, Madison Rain, fucking Tara, you know. But and then when the Attitude Era and when they had Leader and WWE had Leader and Trish Stratus and Kelly Kelly and what the hell's the other chick with the big legs?
I think it's a main event, Tom. It's a main event, Tom.
Oh, with
Yep.
With Money Mayweather.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll wrap it up with this. I think that women's wrestling needs to come to the forefront. There should be more emphasis on it. And I think it'll be a better product once they put more emphasis on it. Because the talent's always there. You know? The talent's always going to be there now. Chicks can go. You know. So, all right. Anything else before I wrap the show up and I take this train into the station? Anything else, Shane?
Expect a shirt purchase from Pro Wrestling Tees. So, in a later date,
I need one of those.
I get my
shirts.
Paycheck. So,
dude, I appreciate that. Thank you. As a matter of fact, my NES shirt just came in the mail today, so I'm gonna be wearing that next week to Legends of the Ring.
I want that one so bad. That's so legit. Like,
yeah, Matt's awesome. Thanks to Matt for helping us design that. I appreciate that, Shane. Thanks for calling in, brother. Yeah. I really appreciate it. Rage, I guess you'll be on the Wrestling Call-In Show in a few minutes.
Unfortunately, with those bastards, yep.
All right, I'll probably jump in there after I make a phone call and grab a quick beverage. But I appreciate you guys calling and hanging out with me. To kill the boredom. Either this or go to that fucking bedbug club. And I wasn't having that. So you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks for Tony from the Shining Wizards for calling in. I really appreciate it. And I'll talk to you guys later on.
All right.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you, boys.
All right.
That was Rage and our buddy Sugar Shane and Tony from the Shining Wizards. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. I guess I'll start playing some plugs. Let me fucking play some music here. Got some music queued up. A little Judas Priest. All right. So, this coming Wednesday on RantEMRadio.com, live at 9 p.m., we're going to have Little Egypt from Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. We are going to have, week after that, we're going to have Johnny Mangway from Beyond Wrestling, Jocko, whatever you want to call him. Bunch of names he goes on the, but he's a local boy doing some big things with Beyond, Dragon Gate, bunch of other feds will be here in studio with us. Yeah, man. RantEMRadio.com is the place. Shining Wizards Network. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Buzzsprout, Audio Boo every Saturday night. Not Saturday. I'm sorry. Audio Boo. And every Saturday night, we're on geekliferadio.com. I apologize. And you guys know how to reach us. Shout out to all the other shows, man. Don Tony, Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup, Geeks of the Industry. My new show on Geeks of the Industry. Check it out. It's called Back in Time, a totally awesome tribute to the 1980s. Myself, Mr. Will Sweeney. Go to geeksoftheindustry.com for that. Mega Pals Radio. All those good shows. What else I got going on here? I just plugged Shining Wizards Network. Oh, Inconclusive Breakdown. Thursday Night Destruction. This Saturday, Pro Wrestling Syndicate. Rahway, New Jersey. Be there, be square. Bell times 8 p.m. That day, we'll be at the Crown Plaza Hotel with the Shining Wizards at Legends of the Ring. With Ricky the Dragon Steamboat at our table. Check it out. Get an autograph. Get a picture. Get a picture of me. Because I'll be looking fucking svelte in that shirt. And I think that's pretty much it. This has been another edition of the Termical Throwbacks open mic night. And you guys have a great rest of your week.